Lunasa. You've probably heard of it, but what exactly is the Celtic Festival and how does it involve Ireland's Superman? Well, let me explain.
Let me explain with Sean Defoe, a News Talk original.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever it is you get your podcasts. Now, as the rain returned over the weekend, it may be an appropriate, if controversial, time to tell you that in some people's calendars, we're about to enter autumn this week. And you may say, oh no, no, my friend, we are still firmly in the grips of summer, and I might even agree with you. But your ancient ancestors wouldn't. They would point out that the 1st of August marks Lose Day, Lunasa, and the start of the harvest season. But how did it come about? And just who was this Lou anyway? Well, for that, we need to go back a bit. In the beginning, before human feet ever set foot on Ireland, there existed, according to legend, two races of extraordinary magical beings. In many ways, the Irish gods. And those among them were divided into two camps, effectively. The Tuatha De Danann, being fair and civilized, mastering poetry and kingship, magic and healing. And then there were the Fomorians, ancient, dark, destructive and ever-changing. And often these were portrayed as the gods of violent nature, tempestuous as the sea and storms and the scorching sun that would lay waste to anyone and anything in their way. They were sometimes portrayed as enormous giants or sea monsters, though not explicitly evil, still well able to do you harm. And the most famous of these Fomorians was their king, Balor, known as Balor of the Evil Eye. Now, what's not 100% clear is whether this evil eye was in fact the eye of Balor or some sort of a weapon that he possessed, especially as the folklore says that this thing took several men just to open the lid of the eye, just to lift open that eyelid above their heads. So massive and heavy was it. But when it opened, well, it could kill at a glance, as the saying goes. It could destroy entire armies and scorch the earth to destroy crops and townlands. It was the ultimate weapon, this kind of an eye of Sauron in ancient mystical Ireland. And it's often seen as a metaphor in these stories for famine and drought and pestilence and other nasty things. Anyway, Balor got what many famous kings got and undid many of them, a prophecy. And that prophecy foretold that he would die at the hands of a grandchild. So, like many of them in mythology, what did he do? Well, he sought to prevent any grandchild from ever doing that by making sure none were born to him, which was somewhat difficult, as his daughter Ethnu would be, well, she was what would be called today a bit of a babe. So, 5,000 years before Shrek, he locks her away in a tower, this one on Tory Island, and puts in place all of the usual protections to make sure that no handsome or virile man would ever get to Tory Island. And some would say those are still in place. I joke. But one of his enemies, one of the noble Tuatha De Danann, had heard of Ethnu's beauty and tried to get to Tory Island. His name was Cian, and he had another god literally do his hair and makeup to make him appear as an old woman approaching the island above any possible suspicion. He snuck in the window of the tower, and fair to say, himself and Ethnu hit it off once he no longer looked like an old woman, we are assuming. Together they had three children who had both Tuatha De Danann and Fomorian blood, a mixing of the two enemy god bloodlines. But of course, it wasn't quite happily ever after, because Balor found out about this trio of grandchildren who could potentially depose them and moved in to kill them to save his own skin, casting them out into the sea to be drowned. Two of them died, one lived, saved by a god of the sea who would be like a foster father. That survivor was Lu. Now, Lu began to grow up and found himself more skilled than most, which does tend to happen if you have two magical bloodlines in your veins. He began to master literally every craft, not just one or two. One of these people is just good at everything. We all know the type, but he was exceptionally good at everything. Illustrated in the story about his arrival to the capital of the Tuatha De Danann at Tara, the guard on the gate said, "No, we're full. We've got everybody we need here at the magical city. You're absolutely grand, Lou, whoever you are. Turn away. Get out of my face." And he says, "Well, surely, I mean, you might need me. I'm a smith. We already have one. I'm a warrior. We already have one. I'm a harpist. We have a good one. He's great. He's fine." Continued along. "Physician, poet, champion, magician, craftsman. I'm all of these. We have them. You're grand. Thanks very much." And finally, Lou says, "Well, do you have anyone who possesses all of these skills together?" And the bouncer on the gate says, "No, okay, fair enough. Go on. Get in. Don't cause any trouble." Now, the Formorians under Baelor Eviseye, they were in the ascendancy at this point, and they demanded a terrible tribute from the rest of the island, crops and gold and women and children and all the usual stuff. Until that is, Lu began to unite and organize the Tuatha De Danann, and showing them the importance of versatility through his many skills. And he became an expert with the spear, earning the nickname Lu Longarm for just how far and accurately his spear could reach. It wasn't long before war broke out again as the Tuatha De Danann looked to overthrow the yoke of the Formorians. And the battle, well, it was fierce and bloody as only a battle between gods can be. And the tide looked to take a decisive turn when Baelor brought out that old evil eye of his, several men struggling to lift open its withered lid. And when they did, scores died under its glare. Now you can probably guess what's coming. Prophecy fulfilled. Lu kills his grandfather, Baelor, king of the giants and the Formorians. The most commonly agreed story is that a la David and Goliath, Lu slings a stone which hits Baelor in the eye, passes through the back of his head and kills him stone dead. Now the reason I'm unsure whether this was the selfsame evil eye of Sauron that he hit is that reports are, as Baelor's brains littered the battlefield, the eye falls and turns on the Formorians and turns the tide of the battle with it, which surely wouldn't happen if the slingshot had just burst that eye open. It couldn't have been doing that, but far be it from me to point out any inconsistencies in ancient fairy tales. So Lu and the Tuatha De Danann win, and all is sweetness and light in Ireland for a while, at least. And Lu becomes effectively Ireland's Superman. He's good at everything. He's strong, he's brave, he's talented, and he becomes the god of the sun after vanquishing the darkness. Win, win. Now, I did mention that the god of the sea was a foster parent of his, and he seems to have had a few of these after being cast out into the sea by Baelor. Another being, a god called Taltu, who died, allegedly, after tilling the land, after clearing away great forests of Ireland to make way for agriculture. She dies of exhaustion. Again, symbolic of Ireland moving away from the forces of nature in the Formorians to the more settled ways of managing the land we came to know in the following centuries. But it is said that Super Lu created the festival of Lunasa in his own name in tribute to Taltu, to that foster mother of his, that it would mark the start of the harvest season and all that she had worked for, and be marked out with all sorts of things, including games and feasts and, well, sex too. Matchmaking, feasting, drinking, and everything that came after, as well as what became known as the Taltan Games in honour of the goddess Taltu. And there are all sorts of festivals through August that draw their timing, some even indirectly, to the Taltan Games and the Lunasa Festival. One particularly amusing account comes about one that's still ongoing. This is from a 1995 book called How the Irish Saved Civilization, and it links Lunasa with the Puck Fair in Kerry. And I quote, "To this day, there is a town in Kerry that holds a fertility festival each August, where a magnificent he-goat presides like Kernicus for the 3 days and nights, and I can't even pronounce this, Bacchaleian drinking, wild dancing, and varieties of sexual indiscretion are the principal entertainments." Now, we only talk about the Puck Fair each year in terms of questionable animal rights records. If they sold it as drinking while dancing and varieties of sexual indiscretion, I dare say ticket sales would be through the roof and there'd be an awful lot more people down in Killorglin every August. Instead, we might take that description and put it to Altogether Now or to Electric Picnic or something. Not necessarily Puck Fair, but wow, there is an advertising slogan for you. Speaking of Altogether Now, we are going to be down there this coming weekend. So don't forget to celebrate Lunasa to mark the start of the harvest in whatever debaucherous way you would like. We are going to be launching for the second year in a row. Let me explain the opening act at the Bauer Media Lounge at 4 o'clock on Friday. I will be there. And I think we're in the same spot as we were last year, down the road to the old Curramore House, if you have been there before. And it's effectively going to be a dadhood special. I will have Frank Rainey and Dwayne Dugan joining me to talk about the highs and lows of being a young dad. We might have had a quiz too, and a bit of music as well, some appropriately themed music. I will just leave it at that. So drop by as you are draining those first few cans of the day. It might not even be the first few. Let's face it, if you're down and camping, you might be quite a few in by that stage. 4 o'clock, late to some, early to others. We will have a bit of crack there on Friday. Until then, chat to you soon.